From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. I want to start today's show off by introducing you to someone who is behind some of the biggest headlines of the past two decades.
Chances are you've never heard of Bill McRaven, but you know his work. He was in charge of the missions that captured Saddam Hussein and killed Osama bin Laden. Here's our power player of the week. Bill, welcome.
Thank you, Chris.
It's an honor to have you.
That's great to be here.
Bill McRaven is a former four-star admiral and Navy SEAL. His last military post was commander of the U.S. Special Operations Command. And then he took on a completely different mission.
This board took a gamble, and they hired me to lead the University of Texas system, even though I had no experience in higher education or clinical care.
He went from commanding SEAL Team 6 to leading the UT system, which oversees 14 campuses, including the University of Texas at Austin. It's hard for him to shed that military skin, though. You can just hear it in his voice.
But I think you hired me because for the previous 37 years, I have been leading men and women under some of the most challenging conditions in the world.
This is a speech that McRaven made back in November of 2015. And it was a big deal. He was a big deal. And so was his grand vision for the UT system.
I will outline some broad and bold initiatives, some quantum leaps that will make us the envy of every system in the nation.
These quantum leaps would be expensive. This one would cost $36 million.
We are going to develop a collaborative healthcare enterprise that will leverage our size and expertise.
The next one, $10
million. Our intent is to establish a UT network for national security, a system-wide alliance.
So McRaven lays out 9 big ideas. And when he's done,
I hope your bold gamble in allowing this old sailor to lead this great institution will be a winning hand. I look forward to the years ahead and watching this vision unfold. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
The UT system's governing board is thrilled. They agree to greenlight McRaven's vision, which will cost hundreds of millions of dollars. Then, just 3 months later, McRaven's back in front of the same board, this time talking about tuition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I am going to recommend that you approve our tuition and fees. We have made some adjustments to our academic institutions.
Let me explain what he means by adjustments. Bill McRaven wants to increase tuition by as much as 10%. He says the schools need the money.
So the fact is most of our tuition and fees are at or well below the national average. The fact is the tuition and fees are the single greatest driver for revenue. So the fact is state appropriations continue to decline.
So how can Bill McRaven propose spending hundreds of millions of dollars on his grand vision and then 3 months later ask students to pay more? A lot of families across the country are asking a version of this same question as the cost of college keeps going up. That's why we're re-airing this episode from last year when we tried to get answers. Nina Satija and Matthew Watkins from our partners at the Texas Tribune spent months looking into what was happening in the University of Texas system. And their reporting took them hundreds of miles from where all the big decisions are made in Austin, all the way to West Texas.
If you want to understand how a state-funded institution like the University of Texas can spend the kind of money Bill McRaven is proposing to spend, you have to come here. And you have to talk to this guy named Richard Brantley.
Is that a pump jack on your shirt on the map of Texas?
That is a pump jack, yes, ma'am. Yes.
I had to ask that. I was like...
Richard manages this plot of land we're standing on right now. Plot is probably an understatement. We're actually standing on an oil field bigger than the size of Rhode Island and Delaware combined. Texas set aside all this land in the 1800s as a kind of investment for public universities. No one thought it was worth much at the time. But now?
We're very blessed, you know, to wind up in the Permian Basin, which is now kind of the center of the world for oil and gas development. That's where everybody wants to be. It's where a lot of the money's going. Mm-hmm.
This one old pump jack we're in front of slowly rocks like a seesaw as it pulls oil from more than a mile underground, making that slow creak and that sad, low humming noise, kind of like a sick cello.
It's kind of a horror movie type sound, isn't it? I mean, not in, you know,
that's
not
a,
like...
That's a check valve that you hear.
Check valve.
The money generated here goes into something called the Permanent University Fund, which we'll call the Oil Fund. It's worth $20 billion today, and the UT system gets most of it. It's the reason UT has the biggest public university endowment in the world. The money's supposed to last for generations, so you can't spend it all at once. But each year, the oil fund generates $600 million for the UT system. That's about as much as all 50,000 UT Austin students spend on tuition each year. So again, why is the UT system raising tuition? It turns out it's a question people are asking about colleges all over the country.
The hearing will come to order. Welcome to the Ways and Means Oversight Subcommittee hearing entitled Back to School, a review of tax-exempt college and university endowments.
For 2 hours in 2016, members of Congress and experts talked about private colleges with huge endowments.
Topping the list are schools with endowments over $20 billion, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and Stanford.
And the fact that they get to invest all this money tax-free.
You had suggested as one of your solutions that endowments should be taxed.
Yes, only large endowments.
President Trump's tax reform bill aims to do just that. Some private colleges now have to pay a 1.4% tax on their endowments. Trump talked about this during his campaign.
I'm going to work with Congress to make sure that if universities want access to all of these special federal tax breaks, that they are going to make good faith efforts to reduce the cost of college and to spend their endowments on their students rather than other things that don't matter.
Here's the thing, though. College endowments are, for the most part, a black box. Private colleges don't have to tell us how they spend this money. But the University of Texas system happens to be a public institution with a huge endowment. So we can dig through public records to figure out how it spends all that money, which is exactly what Matthew and I did.
It turns out half the money goes to the flagship campus in Austin. A chunk of it also goes to building labs and classrooms at the other UT campuses. But a lot of it goes to things like the quantum leaps you heard about in the beginning of the show, the $36 million healthcare project, the $10 million national security initiative, and this.
There is one more quantum leap that we must take to elevate our status to the world's finest university system. We are completing the acquisition of over 300 acres of real estate off Buffalo Point, just 3.5 miles from the Texas Medical Center.
McRaven announced that the UT system would buy a piece of land bigger than Harvard's main campus in the middle of Houston for $215 million, all from the oil fund. Let me put that number in perspective for you. Those tuition hikes McRaven asked for would bring in $30 million for UT Austin. This land alone costs seven times more. And that raised a lot of eyebrows.
Okay, let's get started. Senate Finance Committee will come to order. Clerk, please call the roll.
It's January 2017, and McRaven is at the Texas State Senate to talk about money. This is Republican State Senator Jane Nelson.
All right, we're going to call Chancellor McRaven. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair. How are you?
I am.
Almost right away, Republican Senator Paul Bettencourt brings up the Houston land buy.
Right. Now, that is a significant sum of money by any measurement that I'm aware of. This is, a $250 million is a $250 million. It's a big commitment.
I don't debate the fact that it's a lot of money.
Okay.
What I would offer to you is that the potential.
At this point, it's been more than a year since McRaven announced the land buy. And he's been saying for months he wants to do something big and bold, except he's never said exactly what.
Why did you buy this land, and what are you doing with it?
Sir, I'm happy to answer that. What we've done, of course, is we've formed a task force. We have looked at some tremendous options for how we can develop this land in combination with anybody who wants to join us.
This answer doesn't go down well with Republicans or Democrats. Here's Democrat John Whitmire.
I don't think, in all due respect, I don't think you give a damn what the legislature thinks.
Sir, that is absolutely wrong. I spent 37 years in uniform, and I'm not going to tout the military, but, I swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I raised my right hand to do that, and I think I did that pretty well for 37 years. And I think I went before an awful lot of committees.
That's not the issue this morning.
Sir, you just said, you said I do not respect this body.
That is my opinion.
Sir, I recognize that's your opinion,
and
I can tell you that's not true.
And it's based on your actions
if my actions...
You just said...
Tensions get so high, Jay Nelson has to step in.
Senator Whitmire, we know how strongly you think.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and let misinformation go out. Okay, we'll stop right here. And I think you can certainly...
yes, ma'am. I got the
...understand
message.
Some of the concerns that we all share.
Yes, ma'am.
That Senator Whitmire has expressed.
The message during this grilling is clear. You can't cry poverty and raise tuition, while at the same time spending $215 million on a bunch of land. But McRaven tries to make one more argument. He says the oil fund is written into the Texas Constitution, which sets up limits on how the state can spend the money. You can give the money to UT Austin, you can pay for capital projects like buying land, or you can spend it on UT system administration costs.
UT leaders don't think they can just give all the money directly to students. But they've used the oil fund to pay for things like IT expenses and library software at certain UT schools to help tuition there stay low.
But tuition has continued to go up, even though the value of the oil fund has gone up by a lot. The oil fund has delivered hundreds of millions of extra dollars to the UT system. Students say they could have used some of that cash.
My name's Allie Runis. I'm going to be a junior at UT, and I'm studying electrical engineering.
We meet up with Allie because a few months back, we put a call out on social media. We wanted to hear from students struggling to pay for college.
Allie saw our message, and she emailed me. She said it's been hard for her to keep up, even on little things, like when UT Austin raised the fee for official transcripts from $10 to $20.
I don't apply to internships that require a transcript because I'm like, I don't have... $100 budget to go apply to jobs.
Allie's grandparents are helping with tuition now. She's trying to download books instead of buying them. She's moved farther away from campus to save money.
It's like, my dad was like, is there any way you can do it in 3.5 semesters? Trying to figure that out. Don't think it's going to happen.
Allie's always assumed tuition is going up because state funding's going down, because the university needs the money.
Have you heard of the quantum leaps? That sounds like a really weird question if you haven't heard of them.
I like that. It rings a bell, but I couldn't tell you, like, what it is.
Have you heard of something called the Permanent University Fund?
No.
No.
I have not.
Okay.
I explain what these are, and it's a lot for Allie to take in. Because when UT Austin communicates with her, it acts like it's poor. Recently, the school even asked her for help.
So they actually get UT?
They actually ask students to donate.
How did that work exactly?
They sent us an email and they're like, hey, it's contribute time. Send us money. Yeah.
And did you contribute?
I did not. I can't believe they asked us to donate money.
The Houston land buy caused such an uproar that McRaven backed down and agreed to sell it. But another big chunk of oil money went to something that was meant to help students. It's called the Institute for Transformational Learning.
The landscape of higher education is changing, as is the landscape of industry and employment.
It is all about experience. And I think in our world, that really hasn't been a focal point.
The Institute started years ago, back when Bill McRaven was still in the military. But since he became chancellor, we found its budget grew 10 times bigger, from $2.5 million a year to $25 million last year. Nina emailed the Institute asking for an interview. They responded within 2 minutes, and she sat down with Chief Innovation Officer Marnie Baker-Stein.
I mean, can you give me the cliff notes of what this place is?
Do you want the cliff notes of what it is right now, or do you want the brief history, or do you...
Both would be good.
Okay, so I think the essence of what we are is... central capability to...
I get the sense Marnie and her team work on things like online classes for UT students and digital learning software. But it still feels like a lot of buzzwords. For instance, there was this product called TEX. Here's how Marnie pitched it to the UT system back in 2014.
This stack and this ecosystem is a beautiful, engaging, mobile-first learning environment that will power adaptive pathways that close learner gaps and encourage learner strengths, personalized state-of-the-art content and learning objects, deep integration with applications that allow for high-impact learning.
When Marnie made this presentation, the UT Systems Governing Board had already agreed to spend $50 million on the Institute for Transformational Learning. And after her presentation, they agreed to spend $50 million more. All of the money would come from the oil fund. Marnie promised Matthew and me a second interview, plus a live demo of that text product. But for months, we didn't hear back.
In the meantime, I got an anonymous tip. An email claiming that text was practically unusable and had low educational value. The tipster said the one university trying to use text in its classrooms had abandoned it.
Then we learned Marnie had resigned. Then we learned her boss had resigned. And finally, after 3 months of waiting, we sat down with another person who'd been put in charge.
My name is Steve Leslie. I'm the Executive Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs, University of Texas System.
We had some tough questions for Steve, and he was surprisingly open with us.
Is it fair to say that back in 2011, when this investment was first made, $50 million, there wasn't much of a business plan for sustainability?
I would say that would be an accurate statement, yes.
But then another $50 million allocation was made. You know, do you think that second allocation was made with the understanding that there does need to be a business plan now?
No. The expectation was that there would be a business plan. But there was not the foundations of a business plan at the time that either pot of money was put in place. It was expensive, but it led to where we are now, which has also been expensive. It is where it is right now.
Steve did make a couple things clear. The Institute was in trouble, and it definitely wasn't getting any more money from the oil fund. We tried for months to get an interview with Steve's boss, Chancellor Bill McRaven. He turned us down every time. But we did catch him at a public meeting last summer.
I've got only a few more minutes, so I got to go catch an airplane.
Sure.
Sorry.
There's been questions raised, you know, not just in the board. But
I asked McRaven if the Institute for Transformational Learning is still like worth the money.
Well, I think this is something we're going to have to look at.
And I asked him, why spend the oil fund on things like the Institute and 300 acres of land in Houston? How do you kind of explain and defend kind of the choices of how that money should be spent?
So I don't have an hour, unfortunately. the board is always looking at how do we manage access and affordability and exceptional faculty. So, yeah, that's that.
We got to let him go now.
Yeah, sorry, folks. I got to go talk to my staff and catch an airplane.
Thank you.
We wanted to know how students feel about all this. So we go back to see Allie.
Hey, how are you doing?
Nice to see y'all.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you. Thanks for coming and meeting with us again. What are we looking
at
here?
This is the Engineering Education and Research Center, but it's the new home for the Electrical and Computer Engineering Department. So I spend all day here, and it's great.
We walk inside to find a quiet room. And we tell Allie what we found since our first talk.
The UT system gets $600 million a year from the endowment, and they spend $38 million on financial aid from that pot.
That's just 6% of the oil fund money. And UT leaders told us they don't see anything wrong with that. The way they spend the rest of the money still benefits students. And the idea here is that we're going to use this money for extra things that's going to raise the profile, raise the prestige of the University of Texas.
Yeah, it seems like one of those things, like when you get your tax return, you're like, oh, well, I'm just going to go buy a new dress. And it seems like we have a voiced student concern that there is not enough funding for people who need more financial aid. And so it does seem like a little bit of a, like, oh, we have all this extra money, but it's not going to go to y'all.
That story was from Nina Satija and Matthew Watkins at the Texas Tribune. A lot has changed since it first came out. Just a week after it aired in December, Bill McRaven announced that he'd be stepping down as chancellor. About a month later, he shut down the Institute for Transformational Learning. And just a few weeks ago, the UT system raised in-state tuition by as much as 8.5%. some universities with big endowments have programs to help low-income students pay for tuition. Others are actually making it harder for poor kids to afford school.
I was at the financial aid office, and I started to cry. Like, I had never felt more hopeless in that moment, and she started to cry too, and she was like, I don't know what to tell you.
That's next on Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.